Welcome to The Kelly Roach Show, the place for no fluff, easy to implement, 20-minute or less business and leadership lessons to help you build a sustainable business that scales, lead with integrity, and create a lasting legacy. I'm Kelly Roach, former NFL cheerleader and Fortune 500 executive turned eight-figure entrepreneur. Let's get started. So a lot of people don't know this, but a couple of years ago, I almost lost it all. And I never talked about it online because I couldn't. And I never was able to tell my story because it was a legal battle. And I still can't share a lot of details of it because of the legal settlement. So today I'm going to talk to you with a little bit of fuzziness and a little bit of gray because I have to be careful in what I share, but I'm going to tell a little bit of a story that I think could potentially help some of you that are listening to this today. So a couple years ago, it was the end of 2020. My business was exploding with growth. We were having the greatest time of our lives, the greatest season of our lives. It was absolutely incredible. My business at the time was called The Unstoppable Entrepreneur. And my flagship program was called The Unstoppable Entrepreneur. And this program, which is now Empire Builders, it's called Empire Builders. We have it trademarked. It is a much evolved and up-leveled version of its original state, but it was called Unstoppable Entrepreneur at the time. And it was the first large-scale, high-ticket coaching company in the online marketing space to provide accountability and one-to-one support inside a large-scale group coaching program. So we really flipped the industry on its head because I saw the gap. I saw what people were craving. They wanted a human-centric approach. They wanted hands-on support. They wanted someone to be able to ask questions to in real time, all of the things, right? And so word got out about this. Our clients were having ridiculous levels of success. We were pumping out six and seven figure success stories left and right. And we were just growing like wildfire. And we got on the radar of a global publication. I'm not going to use their name. And this particular company goes around and they threaten and they bully and they sue small businesses that cannot afford to battle them in court. And they have taken businesses basically to bankruptcy, out of business. There's whole threads and stories online where people have actually written about what this company does. Now, what happened was, I guess, and I don't have all my facts here, but just generally speaking to give you an idea of how this happened, about 20 years ago or so, there was some loophole that happened, right? You're not technically able to trademark a generic word in the dictionary, right? Like no one should be able to trademark just a word that everyone and anyone should be able to use to describe a class of people, let's call it. But for some reason, this company was able to get under the radar through a loophole and trademark a word. And for the last couple decades, they have been threatening, bullying, suing, pursuing, and trying to take out of business anyone who fights them on wanting to use this particular word. Now, I understood through legal counsel that this loophole had happened, that it never should have happened, and that if I were to get my case to court to be heard by a judge, that we would be able to keep the brand name, keep the word, go on with our lives, but also save a lot of other businesses that have gone through this and have endured horrible things with the harassment and bullying and just legal blackmail, essentially, were the words that my lawyer used to describe their behavior. Now, this is a very large corporation that has a massive in-house legal team with a massive amount of budget. And instead of spending those dollars on marketing and growing their business and their empire, they use those dollars to push everyone else down and prevent them from using this word. So when this initially came up, I was like, okay, we're in like our high season. We just spent years building this brand. It's how we're known in the market. We have such a strong brand reputation. Our clients are having amazing successes. I probably at that point had thousands upon thousands of pieces of content with the words Unstoppable Entrepreneur in it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it to court. I'm going to fight this battle for all entrepreneurs and I'm going to win, right? Because this is a loophole. This isn't right. And I just wanted to do anything I could possibly do to prevent the whole business from having to be rebranded and relaunched and changing thousands of pieces of content and, you know, losing what I invested my heart and my soul and my mind in building. Okay. So we're going through the process. This is like 2 years of hell on earth, literally, like literally. And we're back and forth and back and forth. Well, because I didn't settle right away because I was like, I'm going to try and make it to court. Well, initially my lawyer had said, you know, I think you can get to court with this number. And then they came back and I think you can make it to court with this number. And then finally they came back and they were like, you know, it's going to cost you $1 million to make it to trial. And I'm like, okay, right. And I'm constantly just trying to weigh out like where, how far do I take this, you know? And so we're moving through the process and they're bullying and harassing me. And they start going after my team, my clients. They're subpoenaing these people and deposing these people. And it was just undescribable hell on earth, basically. And they're like legal blackmail, right? They know exactly what they can and can't say and what they can and can't do. And they've obviously done this before many, many times. And the reason why they get away with it is because no one can make it to court because they're going after businesses when they're still small enough that they don't have $1 million lying around to say, okay, I can do this. Now, for me, I wasn't as concerned with the financial investment of what it would take, but it got to the point where it was completely disrupting business operations for me from a mental standpoint of being able to like run my business and run my companies. It was just destroying me. And the risk it was creating became so great that I ultimately had to settle. But I remember during that time, I would go on long walks almost every day. And the stress was so bad. I would just pray to God every day, please don't let me have a heart attack. I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to lead. I want to keep building. I want to keep growing. Like, let me figure out how to get through this. Let me figure out how to come out on top of this. And I really felt like everything that I had built and put my heart and soul and all my hard work and everything was just being ripped away. And at one point, there's things I can't share. I'm not going to share that because I don't want to disclose anything that I can't disclose. But let's just say that there's a lot I can't share that would paint a more complete picture of exactly what they did and how they basically got me in a position to do this. They started filing other bogus charges. They started threatening, you know, at one point, I think there was a threat that indicated that they were going to get me put in jail or something like that. Like, it was so bad and so out of control and so insane. And I don't remember exactly what they said, but I can just tell you there's a lot I can't share and that I won't share here. But I will tell you that, like, I wish this on never anyone, not even my worst enemy. It was so bad. But anyway, the bottom line is when all of this was going on, I would do my walks and I would just pray and I would pray and pray not to have a heart attack. I would pray to make it through. I would pray to know what to do and when to do it and how to navigate it. And because the company was going through this incredible explosion of growth at the time that all of this started, obviously you have a huge season of growth, you have a huge season of recalibration. So as all the dust is settling on these hundreds and hundreds of clients that we brought in, of course we have internal change, we have disruption, you know, as we're resetting our systems, we have all sorts of other like internal things that are going on that just added to it. And it was just full on like dumpster fire. And so I'm dealing with all that. And then the people in my life who was counting on during that time, my two top leaders inside my coaching company, both resigned. And then my two business partners in two of my outside companies basically turned on me because they saw that I couldn't completely do their jobs for them and like basically like be their sugar mama anymore, I guess. I had to put some more attention and focus on like my own stuff while I was dealing with all that. So, you know, those partnerships dissolved, thank God. One resulted in a business being closed. One resulted in a business acquisition. all good things ultimately come from God and are as they're meant to be. And I'm thankful for the resolution in the way that it was. But I look around my life and there's so many people that just, they exited left as soon as there was like that little bit of like, oh, she can't do as much for me as she was before. I'm going to go find someone else who can. And then there was other people in my life, many team members that are still with me today that are just unbelievable humans that were there every step of the way that I am so grateful and so thankful that I had throughout this process. But as this was all going on and I realized, okay, like I'm either going to lose it all to try and keep a name or I'm going to lose the name and I'm going to keep it all, I had to lose the name. And so it was this incredible period of feeling like I was in the middle of the ocean, blindfolded with my hands tied behind my back, trying to swim to shore while leading hundreds of clients, dozens of team members. It was unbelievable. Like, I can't even feel the emotions of like what I felt anymore. I think that I've put some things up around that because it was intense. So I was losing the identity of the company and it forced me, and this is why everything always has such a silver lining in life, it forced me to really think about where I was going, what I was doing, what mattered to me, what I wanted the future to look like, because it was all going to have to change no matter what. I had to rebrand the company. I had to rename the company. I was making a lot of changes. This business over here was gone. This business over here, I ultimately ended up acquiring. That partnership was, you know, going away. It was like confetti thrown up in the air, like what is happening? And this is where I had like really like my God revolution, right? Because it was like a clean slate in the middle of a war zone. If you can kind of think about those two like energetic dynamics happening at the same time. Because on one hand, it was like the canvas is clean, make it whatever you want to be. And on the other hand, it was like a complete war zone in battle every day. And that was when I really reassessed how I was going to get to the $100 million mark. I had initially wanted to build the coaching company to $100 million. That was my goal. I set most of my goals around things that I feel that I could be a pathway and a role model and example for other people to do. That was why I set the goal to get to 8 figures initially, which I did. And then I wanted to take the coaching company to 9 figures. Well, what I learned throughout this entire process of scaling the business, having that really rapid success, bringing in hundreds and hundreds of clients at once, is that it was more important to me in the coaching company that we be the Ritz-Carlton with the highest quality delivery and the best results and being able to be really hyper selective and super strategic with who we were bringing in and why we were bringing in than it was to be the biggest. It was more important to me to be the best than it was to be the biggest. And I didn't want to give up on my $100 million goal and I wanted to still pursue that. And that's when I really decided that I was going to really think about my business from the standpoint of almost going back to my roots of how I managed in corporate, which is that I was running $50 million portfolio, but it was all these like smaller branches that came together to do that. And I was like, well, why can't I create that within my own portfolio? And that's when I switched my entire like paradigm and focus from building a $100 million coaching company to building a $100 million portfolio. And when you think about that, I have 6 companies in the portfolio now. They each have their own team, leadership, all of those things. Each of those companies gets to what, 13 million-ish, and we're there, right? So over 5 years, I think that's definitely doable. Maybe a little longer, maybe a little shorter. We'll see how things go. But that was like my God revolution because it was all stripped away. And I was completely powerless and I could not control the situation at that point. Like it was literally out of my hands, out of my control. And all I could do was try to make good decisions and stack good decisions together, knowing that, okay, there's craziness going on here and there's craziness going on here. And I'm dealing with this legal battle. I'm dealing with this over here. And then I'm going to have to rename the company. And then I have to totally reinvent myself. And then I have to build a new brand. And we had to go back and delete thousands of pieces of content where we had the old name of the company. We had to go back and change it. And it was just insanity, right? And so that was the moment where I was like, you know what? I think I'm kind of missing the point. And I had always been a person of faith. I had always kept my business and faith life really separate. And that was where I really realized that if I hadn't had faith and if I hadn't turned to God, I don't think I would be here right now. I don't. I think I would have probably been in the hospital, had a heart attack. Like, I don't know what would have happened, but I just know that I couldn't have gotten through that alone. And I say that was my God revolution, not because I found God in that moment, because I had already found God before that moment, but because I was so compromised and in such a position of like, I couldn't function without my faith. It made me realize that I had to change my entire way of being, my entire way of teaching, my entire everything, and that the rest of my life was going to be spent glorifying God with all of my businesses and leading people back to God and teaching people how to integrate their faith and inviting people to bring that into the centerpiece of their business. Because in experiencing that, I think I experienced what so many entrepreneurs do, where if you don't have faith, you can't keep going. Like, we can't do it alone. And I definitely had my I can't do it alone moment. And in that, I think that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I think that low point for me is ultimately where Kairos was birthed. And it transformed my entire focus of what I'm doing in business from here on out. It completely changed the way that I teach and lead and run my programs and interact with my team and think about absolutely everything, because it's no longer a separate category in my life. It's now the centerpiece of everything, proudly and publicly. And I feel a sense of freedom that I've never had before because of that. But also now I'm trying to instill in thousands, hopefully millions of entrepreneurs, what faith leadership can do for them and what it can look like to install God as an immovable in the centerpiece of your business, to lead with faith, to glorify God in your business, to use your relationship with your creator to expand your capacity, to elevate your identity, to dream magnificent dreams that are so much bigger than you, to believe that you're capable and equipped to fulfill on whatever the greatest thing for your life is that you can possibly imagine. And I've always been huge on talking about the mental game of entrepreneurship and how so much of it is mindset before mechanics. And Kairos is the place where I go really deep into helping entrepreneurs to understand how to master the 1% mindset, mental game, mental toughness, capacity, recovery that is needed to become a faith-filled, peaceful CEO that runs a profitable business while putting your family first. And Kairos only opens twice a year. It's open right now as you listen to this episode. And so if you are ready for your faith revolution moment, if you are ready to step into God-like dreams, if you believe there's something bigger for your life, if you believe that there is a plan and a purpose and a vision for you that you still have barely scratched the surface on, and you want so much more for your life, you want so much more for yourself and your family, then Kairos is the place to be. This is really one of the only programs, I don't know of any other program on the market, where you can work directly live with someone like me 3 times a month to elevate, to expand, to not just get the idea or the theory or the mindset, but to get the strategy and to really elevate into the person that your dreams require. And the Kairos program is a one-of-a-kind experience. It's a journey. People call it church. It's vision casting. It's goal setting. It's accountability. It's learning. It's growth. It's fireside chats. It's such a dynamic program with so many components. And it's one of those things where you get exactly what you need in every moment of the experience. We rotate through seasons. We talk about everything from cash injections and wealth creation to manifestation to faith, to healthy habits, to leading. I mean, we talk about the gamut of what does it look like to have a 1% life. And I lead you through the process of building it. I've done it and you can too. So there's more to share about Kairos than I can cover in this session here today. But if you scroll down below this audio or below this video, you can go ahead and access the sales page. 2 times a year we open. So we'll be open for about a week. We will not open registration again until September, October. of 2024. So if you feel like you're ready for a reinvention, you want to reignite your passion, you want to realign your business, you're ready for a big up level, this is the place to be. And I'm the mentor to help you do it. So I hope that I'll see you inside Kairos. Scroll down, click the link, and I'll see you there. Thank you so much for listening to The Kelly Roach Show. If you enjoyed this episode, do me two solids. Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review so other people can find the life-changing content that we share here. We're on our way to number one, and we need your help getting there. Thanks so much for being a part of the community and for tuning into the show each and every week.